sin for Jesus. Your friend's about to die, but tarried he still on behind. So they laid Lazarus in a tomb and said their last goodbye. The coming down the road was Jesus right on time. Struggled through life's deserts, they were so hot and dry, till it seemed all hope was gone and I would die. And I wondered, where was he? Is he still a friend of mine? And coming down the road was Jesus right on time.
Amen. You ever been through a struggle and you look around and wonder, where in the world is the Lord? Seems like, you know, I've often talked, me and Brother Snyder used to talk about this a lot. It's not so hard to understand what God's will is. Amen? Yep. It's not so hard to understand what God's will is. Amen?
Amen.
Better. But the hard part is, Brother Harold, understanding what God's timing is. But the good thing is we can always look around and know that here comes Jesus. And when's he coming? Right on time. Amen. You pray us this morning as we sing that my Redeemer is faithful and true. As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful. Thank you.
rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you, and I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true.
He's faithful. Amen. There's a lot to be said about that, isn't there? He is faithful. He's never left me, and he never will. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm glad that I can stand before you today and say that my Redeemer is faithful and true. I want us to go back and pick up a song that Brother Snyder sung for so many years, and we've picked it back up. And it says this: that I've been through enough to know that he will be enough for me. You pray as the choir sings this morning. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust him and how he longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valleys he led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt his loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question his abilities? There's no place that I can go where he does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and just what I am. 'cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's all I need. He's all. Jesus is all I need. He's all you need. He's all you need. Jesus is all you need. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Church, you know that chorus. Would you sing it with me this morning? He's all I need. He's all. All you need. He's all you need. He's all you need. Jesus is all you need. I don't want to wear you with it, but would you stand with me and let's sing that chorus one more time? There may be someone here this morning that's going through a struggle, and you're trying to figure out just which way to turn, but I'm here to tell you this morning that He's all you need. Would you sing that chorus with me again?
He's all.
While you're standing this morning, why don't you take a hymnal right there, pick it up and turn over to page number 57 if you need it, and we're going to sing the first and the last of Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound this morning. Amen. Sing this with me now. And oh, how I love Jesus. Sing, church. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And here's why.
Blessing to be here this morning. Good to see everybody. Want to jump into some prayer requests and mention a few things, and then we're going to take up the Sunday morning offering and Lord willing share the message this morning. But please continue to remember several folks we have on our list. Miss Shirley Townsend, I believe it was like actually about a month ago, had a stroke. Didn't realize it, but she had a recent scan, and the scan picked it up that she had it. She was in the hospital, and I believe she's back home now from the hospital. But please remember her in prayer. I guess if you're going to have one, that's the kind to have maybe. But nonetheless, let's just continue to pray that nothing will show up down the road from that the stroke that she had. So continue to please remember her, Brother James. Miss Connie Teague is home getting better, and good to see Brother Larry here, and Miss Lucy Godfrey, Sister Bettina, and so let's continue to remember her and her health, and Brother Harold's granddaughter Anna Kate. We'll continue to remember her, and of course every time we see you, Brother Harold, it's good to see you this morning. Jim Jr., he's getting better from his surgery. His mother still needs our prayers, Miss Dawn, as she's still trying to recover from the fall that she had. Leonard and Dolores Palmer continuing his treatments. A lot of traveling from South Carolina to Atlanta, so continue to lift them up if you would. Miss Claudia Darby's not doing well. In fact, she sounds horrible. Talked to her yesterday on the phone, and she's just trying to get better from the sickness that she has. And breathing situations as well. That's not getting any better. But do remember her if you would. And Miss Connie Norton with her health. And good to see my grandmother here this morning. Of course, my grandfather as well. But my grandmother is going to need back surgery soon. And so we've all been praying for you and praying for you both. But anyway, pray that comes sooner than later. I know she'll be glad of that. But just remember her, if you would. Krista Rich is going to have surgery on the 22nd of April. And I got a special prayer request this morning, if you would. Won't go into any great details, but just remember my brother, if you would, in prayer. He needs your prayer tremendously this morning, my brother Chris Hales. All right. I do want to mention this, that we have, if you haven't noticed, but we have a pretty good amount of umbrellas. In our foyer, in our hallway here. Please feel free to help yourself if it's raining after church to pick up an umbrella. We just ask that you return it, and so someone else could use it, and a generous donor gave those. So just remember that. Be safe when you're walking and stepping around here and anywhere you go, especially when it's wet. Remember that, please. I do want to mention that we're going to pick up our last Sunday night services back downstairs. We're going to pick that up in May. We're coming upon Easter soon. We're going to need all the practices we can get. And so we're going to pick that up in May, last Sunday night of every month, fellowship downstairs, service and all. And I know that's typically a regular thing, summer or no summer, that last Sunday night, but we're just slowly getting into it this season. So that will begin last Sunday night in May. And I just wanted to say, I know Miss Melita's not here. I don't see her. Miss Christie's here. But we just wanted to say on behalf of the church, happy Pastor Wife Appreciation Month to you and to Miss Melita. Maybe she'll roll the tape back and watch it. But if she's here tonight, we'll tell her tonight. We We love you both. We appreciate you so very much. I could not do it without you, and thank you so very much. How you are to me and the church, just a very loving, gracious, and kind. Thank you so very much. I do encourage you to get a bulletin. There are some addresses in here to mail out cards. If you would do that, I'm pretty sure these folks would enjoy, would appreciate that. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you have already done this, but Miss Connie Teague's address is in the bulletin. The Palmers, where they're at, up in Marietta, South Carolina. You thought I was going to say Marietta, Georgia. I said Marietta, South Carolina. All right. And then Diane Ely, and then Shirley Townsend. So just remember all of these things. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen. All right. Enough talking. Let's continue to worship the Lord, and we're going to bless the offering, and then we'll move forward with the service. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, because we know it takes them all to make all. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would bless this offering, let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church and on foreign fields as we support missionaries as well. God, be with all these requests. You know who needs what better than I do. And Father, I just pray for a healing touch upon people emotionally, physically, mentally, in all other ways. Lord, I pray as we get into the message this morning here in just a few moments that you would just connect through the Holy Spirit to hearts, those that are here, those that are watching. And I pray that there'll be a great sense of encouragement as a result of this service this morning. Father, we do pray if there's anyone here that does not know you personally, that they didn't know, that they don't know if they died today, heaven to be their home. I pray, Lord, that they would do business with Jesus and get saved. We will definitely help guide them along. Let there be a freedom and a liberty to worship you and respond to the invitation. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Anybody hear me out there? All right. Been trying to do things a little different the past couple services and confuse the devil a little bit, which I love doing every chance we get. All right. If you have your Bibles this morning, make your way to the Old Testament book of Psalms. Psalm 116 is where we're going to be for the next few moments. Psalm 116. Of course, you can follow along on our lovely TVs we have this morning. Psalm 116. I do want to change gears, slow things down a bit. I want to get hooked up with the Lord correctly with the message this morning. And I want to read verse number 1 through 6 just after we pray. Father, we pause one more time in Jesus' name. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just bring a stillness upon this body of believers, upon me, Lord, my mind and heart. Holy Spirit, I pray for a clear head, a calm heart. Help me do what Peter did and said, to gird up the loins of my mind. And so, Lord, I just pray that there'll be a connection from the Word to the heart this morning. Those that are here, those that are watching online, listening online, Facebook, what have you. And I pray, Lord, by the end of the message, that we would have had a meeting with you, and we would be encouraged by the time that we leave. So, Father, I'm at your mercy this morning. I'm dependent upon you. Use me is my prayer for your people. In Jesus' name, we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Book of Psalms, chapter number 116. Notice with me, if you would, verse number 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. That's reading Psalm 116 this morning, verse number 1 down through verse number 6. And I want to call your attention, if I could, for just a moment this morning to verse number 1. Notice, if you would, the first 5 words of this verse. I love the Lord because. I want to preach for a few moments on that title this morning, actually. I love the Lord because. This is a psalm of praise or thanksgiving. Most believe that David is the writer here. But the psalmist is reflecting on the graciousness and mercy of God in his life in this chapter. You could get a good sense of that as we read down through there and read some of those verses about grace or graciousness and the word merciful. I wonder this morning, is there anybody here that has ever seen God's power in their life? Anybody? Go ahead, say it, raise your hand. Have you seen God's power? Amen. I wonder if there's anybody here who has God has ever been gracious to. Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Anybody here who God has been merciful to? Raise your hand. Yeah, it's okay. God has been good to us. And I love the Lord this morning, Brother Ceylon. I'm glad that God has been gracious to me. I'm glad that God has been merciful to me. I do not deserve His grace. I do not deserve His mercy. I do not deserve salvation. I do not deserve any good thing that He has given me or plans on giving me. I do not deserve that. And because of that basis, I love the Lord. Has God made a way with anyone this morning when there wasn't a way? Has He parted troubled waters in your life? Has He turned your bitter waters sweet before? Has He given you strength to climb a mountain? Endurance to carry a burden? The point is this morning, I believe that everybody in here could say, not just me, but I love the Lord. Now, this message this morning is for the struggler. It's for the parched. It's for the empty. It's for the fearful, the hurting, the doubter. Those who need emotional healing. Those who even need maybe some physical healing. I heard a story this week and it was very encouraging to me. It actually had me sitting there in awe. Someone sent me a link and I watched it on Facebook. And basically it was the story of a man who experienced a home invasion in his house. And as the story had it, the people broke in and they stabbed this man in the stomach 20 to 30 times. And then he fell down and in a pool of blood. Somehow, some way, the man found strength to stand up in that pool of blood and walk to the very end of the house, down the hallway, lock himself in the bedroom, and call 911. Well, to make a long story short, the police got there, the medical team got there, and they went to the back. He was yelling and screaming. They kicked the door in, and they said, how did you get here? They started working on him. They checked his pulse, and they started to bind him up, and they said, how in the world? We seen the big pool of blood, but how in the world did you get all the way back here? He said, what do you mean? He said, well, we see two footprints in the pool of blood, but there's no footprints going down the hallway. He said, I walked down that hallway and called you to come to my rescue. And I kid you not, that was the story. That man will, listen, he says it even today as I read that. He goes around and he shares that story that literally God carried him from that pool of blood to that back room. Believe it if you want to or not. You've heard the poem before, footprints in the sand. What about footprints in the blood? You know what I mean? Listen, God has a way of carrying us. And I'm sure you can reflect back on last year and last week even and understood some things that you went through was not from you. God carried you. There was no two ways about it. If you were dependent upon yourself, you would not have made it. You would not have gotten through it. But the Lord carried you. This morning, I love the Lord. But I want to say something else. The psalmist here says, I love the Lord because. So I want to mention a few things that the psalmist loves the Lord for. Number one, he says, I love the Lord because he first loved me. Notice in verse number one, he says, I love the Lord because. And so he pauses and then he says, he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And so the writer here, in other words, says, I love the Lord because he heard my voice, he heard my prayer, he heard my supplication. We can stand back and say that that's the Lord loving on the psalmist. And so he's saying, I love the Lord because he first loved me. 1 John 4:19, don't turn there, says that. We loved him because he first loved us. And I'm thankful this morning that Christ loved first. I want to say that Jesus made the first love move in my life. I was living a life in the clutches of sin, drinking and drugging and clubbing and doing all of those things and listen, fighting and cussing and just, you know, doing all of those reckless, riotous things in my life. I wasn't looking for Jesus, but yet the whole time he was looking for me. And I'm so glad he was looking for me. I'm so glad this morning that he made the first move because I wasn't making the first move to him. I love the song that says, while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he first loved me. And so I wasn't originally attracted to him. But the darker and more grim and the deeper in sin I got to in my life, the more beautiful the cross seemed to be. And then he drew me. And then he saved me. And so this morning we see that I love the Lord because he first loved me. Verse number one. Now in point number two, I want you to notice, the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he heard my cry. Verse number one down through verse number five. Listen to verse number one again. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Look at verse number two. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. We see that the psalmist says, I love God because he heard my cry. We've seen that in verse number one. But I want to call your attention to a specific word in verse number two. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. The word inclined, it means to stretch or bend. So the psalmist here is saying that I'm in a dreadful way in my life. I am bogged down, I am bewildered, and I felt like I was out of the reach of God, but he stretched forth to me. He leaned in, he bent toward me. Again, not only in salvation we couldn't get to him, he came to us, but there's times since I've been saved I feel like I couldn't get to him, and thank God he came to me. I'm glad that we serve a Lord that there's times in life where we have Jesus by the hand, but there's other times in life where it's Jesus hanging on to us. Amen? And listen, he the Bible says he inclined, he stretched, he bent. Are you discouraged this morning? Are you in a bad way this morning? Are you struggling to assume your responsibilities this morning? Listen, you and I, along with the psalmist, can say, I love the Lord because he heard my cry. Has he heard your cry in the past and did something about it? Has he delivered you before and you have praised him before? Guess what? God has not changed. He is the very same. Listen, this message may be so generic to some this morning in elementary, but there may be somebody here that really needs to hear this. There may be someone here that feel like they cannot reach up to God. They feel like they can't get out of that dark hole they're in. And I'm here to tell you this morning that he will stretch forth towards you his hand. He will bend an ear to your voice when you pray to him. We serve a God that will hear our prayer. But not only that, he says in verse number two, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. So he's talking about what he's going to do in the future. Have you ever thought that the thing that's about to kill you now, God is going to turn for your testimony? And sure enough, he's going to deliver you at the right time. He's going to strengthen you at the right time. And in the future, you could say, I was in a bad way, but God heard my cry. He inclined unto me, and He delivered me. Again, many of us today can say, God has already delivered in our life. God has already done amazing things in our life. Well, we can say this along with David, that I will call upon Him as long as I live. I was talking with someone yesterday that's in a very, very dark place. They're in such a dark place, they're hospitalized this morning in a mental institution. And we got to talking a little bit, and you know, I said, man, you know, I said, God has brought you a long way. He has moved in your life. I said, I know it's dark right now, but don't give up. Please, don't give up. You know what God has done for you in your life. You know the fires of life that God has brought you through. This may seem like your end. I told him, I said, listen, God is working. I know you may not want to hear it, but God is working all things together for good. He has some kind of good that's going to come out of this. You know, it was Paul that said, I was pressed out of measure in so much I even despaired of life. Paul said that. And if you keep on reading there in Corinthians, you'll find out that Paul said that, he said, I had the sentence of death in myself, that I should not trust in myself, but in God which raiseth the dead. Paul said there was something I learned in my darkness. He said, I learned that I can't, but God can. You see, where he says, I had the sentence of death in myself, that's basically Paul just saying, I did the calculations. I looked at my dilemma. There's no way I'm coming out of this. No way. He said, I had the sentence of death in myself. That was a setup. Listen, I think, I really honestly and truly think sometimes God doesn't get kicks out of it. God doesn't get tickled out of it. But I think sometimes He sets us up for a miracle. It's okay to say amen, brother. I know this ain't the church of God, but listen, we are Baptist-costal around here. You believe in a God who performs miracles? Say amen. Amen. I think sometimes the Lord allows us to see that we can't do it within ourselves. He allows us to fall on our face till we get to that place of total and absolute dependability upon Him. So, I was talking with this individual. I said, man, I said, look, I know you don't feel it. I know you can't see it. But I said, God, listen, God has something great in store for you. He's going to use this as a testimony. And so by the end of the conversation, he says, all I want to do is be a good godly dad and a good Christian. And so this morning we were getting back to our message here, and the writer says, I love the Lord because He heard my cry. And so as we look in these verses, verse number 2, he says, because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Listen, God saved me out of the clutches of sin. My grandparents over here, they can tell you the life I used to live. My grandmother used to have her arm on the back of that couch. Curtains always stayed open in the living room. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, she'd be like, dozing off, looking, waiting. Remember those days? Yeah, she does. Waiting for me to come in. There's been a couple times where I came walking down the road when the sun was coming up the next day. One particular occasion, and I'm not going to get into it because I'm not proud of my past, but I even made the evening news. Yeah. And somebody had gotten shot in an environment I was in. And listen, God has, He has saved me, has changed my life. But even since I've been saved the past 20 years, the attacks and the challenges are different for a saved person. No, I'm not into drugs and alcohol no more. No, I'm not into those kind of things, the parties and clubbing and all of that coming up. No, not any of that. But the devil, and I'm not lifting him up. He's going to have his place in his own lake of fire one day. But the devil is strategic. He will attack your faith. He will attack your spouse. He will attack your child. He will attack you. He cannot possess a believer because the Bible says greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. But he can oppress a believer. There can be thoughts and images that float across your mind, Brother Harold, that you never would have thought of. You could be sitting there minding your business, even reading your Bible, and there'll be a thought run across your mind where you want to die before the sun goes down. Where does that come from? I'll tell you who it comes from. It comes from the wicked one. I'll tell you who it comes from. It comes from the flesh and the mind that is not redeemed. The heart is redeemed, but the mind is not redeemed. And so there's times of darkness. There's times of calamity, and the Lord has changed my life and brought me through some things before salvation. The Lord has brought me through some things even during my salvation experience, and there are some things I'm dealing with now that I know He's going to see me through. It's just a matter of trusting in Him. I have called on the name of the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my prayer. I will forever call upon the name of the Lord. I love the Lord this morning because He heard my cry. Now, let's go a step further. Look in verse number 3. We're getting deeper here. The sorrows of death compass me. That word sorrows, it means dangerous calamities. The words altogether, sorrows of death, can mean cords of death or dangerous calamities. But also a separate definition is just the word cords. What is he talking about? The sorrows of death, the calamities of death, the dangerous calamities, the cords of death. He's given us a picture here, the writer is. He is in such a dark place where he feels like death is just swallowing him up with cords and just tightening and tightening and tightening until he dies. I want to tell you that fear, anxiety, discouragement, all of those things are very real. I am not giving glory to those things. I'm not lifting up those things and saying, oh, we have no hope, because we do. But what I'm saying is there are times where it doesn't matter what you have already gone through. You've never been through anything like this before. And it can get so dark, it feels like the cords of death are compassing you. You remember when Jonah jumped overboard? And he went down into the deep. And he talks about the seaweeds wrapped around him in so many words. And he felt strangulation. And what happened next? Well, we know that whale, the big fish, went and swallowed Jonah up and spewed him out on land. There's times where we experience the depths of darkness, but I'm so very thankful that in spite of anxiety, in spite of fear, in spite of discouragement, we serve a God who will meet us where we're at. And He'll even go looking for us. And so we see that here in this verse, the sorrows of death, calamities of death, cords of death compass me.
Anguish. There's a lot of people who are suffering from mental anguish. means to seize. To seize. And it also means, or it means to catch up. So the writer is literally saying that I was in a bad place. I was struggling. Hard place to be when you're trying to be all things to all men and things just catch up with you. You know, I'm inspired by a lot of pastors and preachers. I'm inspired by a lot of missionaries and families that are in ministry, and I'm inspired by even people that play sports. I'm inspired by how they struggle and they come back. And I'm inspired by all of those things. I am. But there's times when you get to a place where things catch up with you. What do you do when you're the inspirator and things have caught up with you? What do? You know what I'm saying? It's hard. Even those big-time athletes, it catches up with them. And these movie stars that we see on the big screen, life catches up with them. I think about, what's his name? Baldwin. I was filming that movie. And the gun checker didn't check the gun. I still don't know why a real bullet was in that gun to begin with. See the anguish on his face. You can see the bags under his eyes. He don't know if he's going to be sent to prison for life or not. Doesn't matter this morning who you are. And listen, some of these big shots get on stage, some of these preachers, and I'm not dogging anybody. I'm just saying that's who they are. This is who I am. But they act like they got it all together. Am I the only preacher and pastor who doesn't have it all together? Huh? Why am I going to get up here and act like I do? I mean, I'm not going to, listen, if I get up here and I'm discouraging every Sunday and all, yeah, you may need to reconsider my position. But I just want to be real this morning. The psalmist here says that the bands, the cords of death was around him, and his soul was in anguish. He had trouble and sorrow. Got a hold of them. Life caught up with them. But then, in verse number 4, the Bible says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. There again, that is a time where many of us find a place to pray. It's when we can't get rid of this darkness and it's not lifting and our situation isn't getting any better. We then find a place to pray. David, the writer, says, oh Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul, or deliver my life. His life was, he felt like his life was getting ready to be over. Everything was crowding him in. So, we go down to verse number 5. In the psalmist here, he gives us actually a proper foundation to appeal to God. Look right here, he says, graciousness is of the Lord, and righteousness, yea, our God is merciful. Again, we're on our second point this morning. I love the Lord because he heard my cry. The psalmist says all these things, verse number 1 down through verse number 4. Oh Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul, deliver my life. Verse number 5, he says, graciousness is of the Lord. Now we know that grace is getting what we don't deserve. So the psalmist is saying, God is gracious. I believe he is reflecting, number one, back on past experiences. He has found to be true that God is certainly gracious, that God has certainly given him what he never deserved and didn't deserve time and time and time again. But also, graciousness is one of the characteristics of Almighty God. He is gracious. He's slow to anger. And so he says, then, verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Graciousness is of the Lord. He has been gracious. It's his character. And that's what he's going to do even now in future times. He's going to be gracious. This is a proper foundation of appealing to God. This morning you may need something you don't deserve. God said, come on down and ask for it. Lord said, you may be in a dark place and you feel like you haven't been good, and you feel like you may not be able to, you may not merit any good thing, and we don't. But he says, come and I'll be gracious. But then he says this, gracious is the Lord and righteous. That word righteous here means just, true, faithful. Meaning he will do what is best for the case. God will only do right. Now wait a minute. That's a big statement. Well, it's in the Bible. But also, what about those situations? There are many things in my life that God has allowed to happen that I don't understand and I don't agree with it. But at the end of the day, I have to say he's righteous because the Bible says he is. I have to say he's righteous because he saved my unrighteous soul. Listen, just because we're Christians, those that are saved, doesn't mean you won't wrestle with what God does. To this day, I still can't get over how my seminary teacher, young man in his mid-40s, I'm about caught up with him now, where he left this world at his age, but Johnny Ivey, great man of God, used greatly, how he came down with cancer. He turned frail and feeble. He turned yellow. And like the last 2 days, the last week of his life, he crawled behind the pulpit and barely uttered his message out with dry lips. I believe it was a Sunday morning, Sunday night he preached. I believe the last time he preached was like on a Wednesday night. And he died. Well, how in the world can the writer say that God is gracious, and righteous? Listen, we don't have to understand everything that God is doing. If we understood everything that God does, we would be equal with God. Would we or would we not? I mean, if we understood everything he did and we could be everywhere, basically everywhere at the same time and have all power, we could have all access, all those things, we'll be just like him. But thank God we serve someone whose thoughts are not our thoughts, whose ways are not our ways. We just trust him this morning because he's righteous, he's true, he's just, he's faithful, but then the Bible says merciful. Yea, our God is merciful. If grace is getting what we don't deserve, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. I deserve to be in hell. I deserve no more chances. I deserve punishment. I deserve all of these things. But you see, because of the new birth, I was placed in the family of God. And now my position changed. I'm a child of the King. No longer a child of the devil, but a child of the King. If you are born into this world, you are a creation of God. I remember one of the Gospels, a man was rebuked and said, "You are of your father, the devil." And so we're either a child of the devil or a child of God. And when we get saved and trust the Lord for salvation, we become a child of God. I get second chances because I'm a child of the King. You get second chances if you're saved because you're a child of the King. He's merciful, meaning tender-hearted and compassionate. Jesus sympathizes with people under their afflictions. What a blessing this morning that is. So he says in verse number 5, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful." Amen. Let me mention one more thing to you as to why the psalmist said, "I love the Lord." He says, "I love the Lord because he first loved me. I love the Lord because he heard my cry." But in verse number 6, "I love the Lord because he bears with me." I love this verse. Notice what he says. "The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me." The word "preserveth" there, it means to protect. But I love the word "simple" here. Number one, because I'm simple. But I love that word "simple." I got to looking at that word "simple." That word "simple" can mean many things, but this is the family of that word. The naive, the babe, the vulnerable, the inexperienced, the one with small degree of understanding. You get the picture? We see here that the writer says, those who are vulnerable, God protects. Those who are inexperienced, those who are going and trying to navigate through uncharted waters they've never been through before, God protects. Those who are babes in Christ, God protects. Those who are naive, God protects. Those who have a small degree of spiritual understanding, God protects. Listen, there are times in my life where I don't know what to do. Christy and I don't know what to do. Me, Christy, and Lily and I don't know what to do. And with all the experience I have and all the faith that I have, we take a step. I take a step. They take a step with me. And this is actually what I prayed the other day. The house was empty and I was studying. And I stood up after a prayer and I said, "Lord, please protect my yeses and please protect my no's." That's exactly what I said. I said, "God, you know all about it." I said, "Lord," I said, "this is the direction I believe we should go in. But if I'm wrong, please protect the decision that I made." But you know what? We have scripture that will protect us in times like that. Not only here, the Lord preserves the simple, but he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy steps." There's times where I don't understand. I don't have, it's not spelled out in the cloud. "Justin, my son, go right. Justin, my son, go left." It don't say that. There's times where I have to make, Brother Celon, a prayerful, educated guess. Am I right about it? Anybody else? A prayerful, educated, I want it clear cut. I want it wrote down. I want insurance on it. Listen, everything I want on that thing. But the problem is, there's no room for faith in that. Amen? And so all we have to do, we don't have to know how it's going to end. We don't know how we're going to make it through. Listen, if we think we're going to drown, God can give us scuba gear. If we think we're going to burn up in life's fires, he can give us a spiritual firefighter suit. And listen, if we think we can't climb the mountain, he will give us a prop to get up that mountain. I'm glad this morning that the Lord preserveth the simple. That's what's really in my heart this morning. That's what's really giving me encouragement. I believe we just landed on the message, God preserves the simple. You don't have to have it all figured out this morning. You can be going through uncharted waters that you've never been through before. I read a statement this week that says that sailors aren't developed on smooth seas. How about that? Sailors aren't developed on smooth seas. Sailors and shipmen are developed in raging seas. This morning, the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he bears with me. He preserves, he protects the naive, the vulnerable, the inexperienced, small degree of understanding, the babe. But I want to finish with this, the last part of that verse. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. He helped me. He, the words there, helped me, rescued me, freed me. You don't have to know how to interpret every verse in the Bible. All you got to, and listen, you don't have to have experienced everything there is to experience, because none of us can. None of us will. There's always something fresh and new. All you have to do is cling to this promise. All you have to do is cling to this truth here. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Are you in a dark place this morning? Are you in a lonely place this morning? Are you going through something you've never been through before? My word to you this morning is, the Lord preserveth the simple. And again, these are the words of the psalmist, and he starts out by saying, I love the Lord because he first loved me. He heard my cry, and then he bears with me. Aren't you glad that he bears with us from day to day? Father, we love you. We thank you this morning. We praise you. I pray, Lord, that you would just use the message this morning to be a blessing to your people, whoever needs it. Lord, even if there's someone here that's not saved that needs to trust you as Savior, Lord, I pray that it'll be made clear and there'll be a freedom to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We are given the verse of invitation. If you need to come, I urge you to come on the very first verse. You come.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely.
Anybody else? Feel free to come.
I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all.
Are you vulnerable this morning?
I surrender.
You lack experience? He'll protect you.
All to thee, my
He'll protect you. Continuing to sing while these are praying.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Anybody else? Feel free to come. If you died today, would heaven be your home? Don't risk it. Don't risk leaving here today. What if you were to get in an automobile accident and God forbid that something happened to you? God forbid. Do you know that you go to heaven? You might say, yes. Well, I want to ask you this. How do you know that? What are you basing your yes on? Well, Brother Justin, you know, I do good. I help others. That's not the basis for salvation. The basis for salvation is Jesus. That we are to confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. He died on the cross, that God has raised him from the dead, and we'll be saved. Acknowledge that you are a sinner by birth. and that sin separated you from God. And if you don't get saved, one day when you die, you'll be eternally separated from God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to have I hope so salvation. You can have I know so salvation. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You said, well, God can't save me. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The baptistry in the waters doesn't save you, but Jesus saves you. All right? And then you follow through with believers' baptism, publicly professing to everybody as Jesus died and was buried and rose again. As you go down into the water, you come back up. It is portraying that you have had a spiritual resurrection from death. Play another line. Sing or just let it play out. Just give another second or two. See if anybody responds to the call of salvation this morning. If nobody does, we'll close out the service. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming this morning. And remember, choir members, that we'll have a 4 o'clock choir practice today. And just remember that. Remember the evening service at 5. And we will be right back here. And looking forward to tonight's service, see what God has for us. Anything else to mention before we close? All right. Okay. Well, we're going to start getting busy around here. It is springtime. We've got a lot of things coming up: Mother's Day, graduation, of course Easter first, and all kinds of things. Outreach, you know, Operation Christmas Child, starting that here soon. The list goes on and on. So, just be excited. We're getting ready to put it in drive. All right. Okay. All right. Well, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. If nothing else, Brother Seelong, would you close us out? Please?